Today's gospel lesson in the Gospel of Matthew is a parable. And in a parable is a story with a hidden meaning and a life application. And so, this parable is about a man who owned a vineyard. And he dug a hedge around it, and put a wine press in it, and he lent the field out to tenants. And then he left. And when the season of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to get the fruit, which would have been rightfully his, from the tenants. And when the tenants saw the servants, they treated them poorly. They threw one out of the field and beat him. They killed one. They stoned one. And so the owner of the field, undeterred, sent more people to get the fruit that was rightfully his. And the tenants did the same thing to them. They treated them shamefully. So finally, the owner of the field says, I'll send my son. They'll respect him. He's my son. And the tenants said, ah, this is the son. Let's kill him and have his inheritance. So when the son came, they killed him. They put him outside the field and they killed him. And Jesus says to those who came to him, what's the moral of the story? And the people answered Jesus, well, I suppose that the owner of the field will not be very happy, and that he will come and he will take the field away from the tenants that he hired there, and he'll give the field to other people who will give him their fruits of their seasons. Jesus says, you're correct. Have you never read the scriptures? The very stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Now for me, Matthew 21, one verse beyond where the gospel ended this morning, you will see sort of the punchline, which was left out of this morning's reading. I'm not sure why. But if you read one more verse, you will get the real meaning, which is, Jesus says, the vineyard will be taken away from you. The nation that you have will be taken away from you and will be given to others who will bear the fruits in their seasons. Now the meaning of this is the following. The owner of the vineyard is God Almighty. The vineyard is God's creation. The tenants of the vineyard were the leaders of the Jewish temple. That's who he was speaking to when he said this parable. And those who came, God's servants, to get the fruits from the vineyard, those were the prophets. And the prophets, by and large, if you read the Old Testament, were treated shamefully by God's chosen people. Some beaten, some killed, some stoned, some exiled. So God said, I will send my son. The son in this parable is Jesus Christ. And what did they do to Jesus Christ? They put him outside the city wall and they killed him. So when God says, the very stone that the builders rejected is the cornerstone, well, that's Jesus Christ, the cornerstone of the world, rejected by God's chosen people. And as I said, the Lord goes on in the parable to say, the vineyard will be taken away from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. That will be the Gentiles. Now, what is the application of this parable today? God still owns the vineyard. And the vineyard is still God's people, all of the God's people. Who are the tenants? Well, in some way, the tenants are the priests, God's representatives in the vineyard. So one application is, how do we treat the priests of our church? The tenants are not just the priests, though. The tenants are, by extension, everyone in the church who is supposed to be caring for the greater good. Everyone in the church, whether you're a priest or a parish council member or just someone sitting in the pews, are all part of the tenants in God's vineyard here in Tampa. God expects a return from his investment. God expects a return from all the things that he's given us. He expects us to bear fruit. As Christians, we're supposed to bear spiritual fruit. Perhaps there's a fruit for us to bear as Americans as well. Number six, there will be a reckoning. God is going to come back and visit the vineyard, and he's going to ask to see the fruits. What fruits have we cultivated? And there will be a reward for those who have borne fruit, and there will be a punishment for those who have not. Number seven, application. It's about the rejecting of the cornerstone. How many of you have little kids? How many people have little kids? How many people remember when we had little kids? And one of our favorite activities to do with little kids is build with blocks, right? Just take a bunch of blocks. They don't even have to lock one another. All kinds of objects. And you build things with them. You build towers. You build forts. In our house, we build airports and apartment complexes. You build all kinds of things with the blocks. Maybe you have hundreds of blocks, and you build ornate things. Now, what happens if you take one block, perhaps the wrong block, out of the bottom of the building? What happens if you take the wrong block out of the building? The whole thing comes down. You can have hundreds of blocks built spectacularly, but all it takes is the one that counts. Take that one out, and the whole pile implodes. If we take God out of our lives are like that pile of blocks, having extracted the most important block from the pile. That's God. That's the cornerstone of our lives. You can have a beautiful tower with hundreds of blocks, and maybe take one off the top, and it's not even noticed. Maybe take one from partway down, and maybe some of the tower will fall down, but the basic structure will still be there. But take the one block out, and the whole thing comes down. If you look at our church building, and I'm just thinking about this on the fly here, I'm not an architect. If you look at our church building, and you look at the length of the whole building, how much of this entire length of the building is essential to the infrastructure of the church? How much of the building can we absolutely not get by without? Like, you gotta have the columns. That's where all the loads are born in this building. Alright? I mean, if you knock a hole in the middle of the building, in the middle of the wall there, it's not a tragedy. You're gonna take one of the columns out, the whole building falls down. Alright? So imagine this building as a metaphor for our life. So you've got, you know, school, you've got baseball, and you've got family, and you've got your car, you've got your house. Throughout these columns, you've got God, you've got faith, you've got integrity, and you've got honesty. Alright? If you take your car out of your life, you'll still have a good life. If you take sports out of your life, you can still have a good life. But take your faith out of your life. Take honesty out of your life. Take integrity out of your life. Take your spouse out of your life. See what kind of life you have. A pretty sad one. The cornerstones of our lives are not the things that you buy with money, and they're not the things you make with your hands. They're the things you hold in your heart, and they become the pillars for how you live your life. If you live your life according to material possessions, it would be like having this church minus all the columns. You wouldn't have a structure of integrity. So it's time, as we start the new church year, as I said last week, the new church year started yesterday, September 1st. It's time to think about the position of God in our lives and what kind of fruit we're bearing. It's also a good time to think about the place of God in our country. We're becoming a country where you can't even invoke the name of God. Now, I was a history major, and I studied things like the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. It was very clear the Founding Fathers intended for God to be part of the United States. One of the pillars in fact. Freedom of religion, freedom of expression, and along with the things like integrity and honesty. And those things are being taken out of the fabric of our society. We can sit back and we can watch them erode. But we shouldn't be surprised in 10 or 20 years or a generation if the whole country implodes, because we will have taken the head of the corner and we will have taken it out. So it's our time to assess our lives, our neighborhoods, our town, and our country, and assess where is the cornerstone. Is it Christ or is it something else? I hope that you all have a beautiful and restful Labor Day holiday, resting from the labors that we all engage in. And I pray that Tuesday, when we go back to work, that we go back to work with integrity, with honesty, with decency, and represent ourselves and our faith in the way that makes Christ the cornerstone of what you're doing on a day-to-day basis and the people with whom you are doing it. May God bless you and keep you blessed.